It is like a mini pilgrimage. You know, Jesus wandered in the desert. The teachings on Tao are like going to the mountains. These are all metaphors for the mind. This life is an incredible journey. And sometimes, you know, it's wise to contemplate at the moment of the end of that journey what we want to have said for this life that we've experienced here. In Tibetan Buddhism, there's always the contemplation of death. The nature of impermanence. And in Sufism also, this process of annihilation of the false self so that the true self can shine forward. You see this time of year, the fields are getting ready to be prepared. But all of the things that are obstructing the plow have to be removed first. And the soil has to be turned. Good to look under those rocks, those things that are in the mind. But at the same time, if we just get too focused or dogged on that, it also can impede the progress. But we can free the energy up. Too confused by all of that, or to fall into insanity, as was implied in one of the teachings. And we don't want to keep going over and over the same things, which is also obsession, which was intimated can happen. We just look at things openly. To the ground. Of course, it gives us this feeling of solidity and support, but there's a denseness there. And if we lift our eyes and we lift our view, if we lift our consciousness to the sky, there's an incredible vastness and spaciousness there. Each one has its purpose. But sometimes just changing the view can entirely change one's outlook, one's perspective. His Holiness the Dalai Lama says that in life, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Back to the reading on thought reading by Hazrat Anayat Khan from the Gathas. The mystics do not only project their own breath and see the condition of their being manifest before themselves, but they can also make themselves responsive to receive the thought waves of another carried by his breath. This receptivity does not only enable an adept to read another's thoughts, but also to a mystic the condition of another becomes revealed by the projection of another person's breath upon his heart. Does anyone want to hear that again? The mystics do not only project their own breath, which we were just doing, and see the condition of their being manifest before themselves, but they also make themselves responsive to receive the thought waves of another carried by his breath. Meaning that they will, you see, in a way we could tell that when we were listening to the readings today. Each person's voice has a certain quality to it. That's dependent on the breath and the vibration. And you start to tune yourself to that. It starts to tell you things. Again, not for pleasure seeking of knowing something, but perhaps where one can be of benefit. So again, but it also makes themselves, meaning the mystics, responsive to receive the thought waves of another carried by his breath. This receptivity does not only enable an adept to read another's thoughts, but also to a mystic, the condition of another becomes revealed by the projection of another person's breath on his heart, meaning the mystic's heart.
Oh.
Yeah, it changed it, didn't it? The perspective. So the mystic, and this is the answer again for these great beings that seem to suffer. Is there... from one view, we say, my God, they're such great beings, why should they suffer? From another point of view, we don't know what they're taking into their heart for the benefit of others.
Mm. And when you were reading about preparing the fields, what you were talking about, you know, getting rid of the stones, I would imagine you would like clear the field of the weeds and things that you don't want there. So that when these thoughts come in, or the seeds blow in, that you do want to grow there, that there's a receptive place in the field for them to grow, not just for your own self, but for the ones that are floating in from other places.
Mm-hmm.
So they can have a good place to land, a clear landing pad.
Plainly speaking, souls are likened to mirrors, and two mirrors facing one another become projected on one another. this language is a common language in psychological circles, projections. Plainly speaking, souls are likened to mirrors, and two mirrors facing one another become projected on one another, one manifesting the reflection of the other. The mirror, which has not already a reflection, is capable of manifesting the reflection of the other mirror. Meaning, we can only see very clearly if our own mirror is clear.
Like attracts.
But if our mirror, if it's like looking through, it's like look. If we are looking through our own impressions, it's like that thought form has to kind of go and get all adapted. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not like the mirror is clear, so the thought or the projection is not also clear. We don't receive it in the way that it's absolutely clear. Does that make sense? People are looking at me sort of not...
If we're looking with a limited, our limited vision and not seeing the whole picture of another being, and when we, like I might think, oh, well, that person looks sloppy or something like that, which is very limited mm-hmm. with maybe there's all this about our life that's amazing and incredible, and I'm just only seeing what, you know. Yeah. Is that what you mean?
Exactly. That we have all these filters that we put things
filters,
through, or past
yes.
experiences
filters.
That then interpret, you know, they reinterpret things. We don't see things very clearly. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's really tied to the ego, too.
Yeah, it's like everything has to go through that interpreter.
I think, too, on that note, it goes back to the idea of what you reflect then. And if you reflect to someone they're not worthy or they're not good enough, then that goes back to them. So it's kind of a never-ending cycle. They're going to take that back in, feel like that's how they're viewed by people. You know, it's just kind of...
Plainly speaking, souls are likened to mirrors, and two mirrors facing one another become projected on one another, one manifesting the reflection of the other. The mirror, which has not already a reflection, is capable of manifesting the reflection of the other mirror.
Could you say that last sentence one more time?
Mm-hmm. The mirror, which has not already a reflection, meaning it's a clear mirror, is capable of manifesting the... Now, this is the first part of the phrase is talking about the teacher or the adept. The mirror, which has not already a reflection, is capable of manifesting the reflection of the other in the mirror. And this is why every one of us on the spiritual path has someone we're accountable to. This is the reason why Sufis take initiations, Buddhists take empowerments, you know, we work with people, because that other person becomes the mirror. Even Dalai Lama has his advisors. Even Pirmarshita Dayat. Vilayat I know did. Hasrat Anayat Khan. They all had their circle of advisors. But even they have a mirror, someone that can reflect things back to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And in some ways, that's the beauty of a path like this. It's a very kind of personal path where you're working with an individual guide. We come together for group things, but then there can also be very individual instruction based on that reflection. Each person's purpose and unfoldment is unique to them. It can't be something that's done in a group. I mean, the group can contribute to that, but how can it be possible that what's good for this person and that person can't be good for every other person? And this is why there's the esoteric school, that inner teaching. There's public things that happen, but then what happens inwardly? Does that make sense? The mirror which has not already a reflection is capable of manifesting the reflection of the other mirror. In this way, breath enables a Sufi not only to know and see his own condition of life, but also to know and understand the condition of those who come in contact with him. So now, does that happen just immediately with someone that takes initiation? Are they like a Sufi? Maybe not. I've known many people that have never taken initiation, but they're very realized people. I would call them Sufis. They may be on a different path. Like, I think His Holiness the Dalai Lama is a Sufi in that term, Sufi. You see what I'm saying? That he has a clarity through which he can then reflect things back and manifest things that need to be manifest for benefit. My own teacher, Compte Lumpache, I believe, is that way as well. And there are many, many others. They see that. They have a kind of openness and a clarity, you know, like sharp. And in truth, one isn't called a Sufi till they've received out of 12 initiations the 9th level of initiation in Sufism. It indicates a kind of aspect of perhaps clarity. So one has to, if you're reading this in a book, you have no idea, really, unless you know all that, really. You think, oh, I'm a Sufi. I'm here at this class, I must be a Sufi. Sufi means really saint or purity. So here we're talking again about that quality of being able to reflect something back to others. Kind of receptivity. Are there comments or questions about that?
Thank you.
the breath again. Times of meditation. Thank you. I'd like to read a few words from Hidayata Nayak Khan on the path of initiation, because I mentioned this process of initiation, and it's always good for us to be mindful of what we're doing, those of us that have taken initiation and those that might be contemplating making that step. And I wanted to read a few words here. Initiation means taking an initiative in a direction which is not always understood by others. Therefore, there is a need for courage, as well as the wish to advance spiritually, which may not seem to be the way for each and every one. The first concern is to guard against one's faith being shaken by opposing and discouraging influences. If the whole world says that it is the wrong path, the initiate replies, it is the right path. If it is said that it shall take 1,000 years, the initiate replies, I have patience to persist. On this mystical path, steadiness, courage, and patience are essential, as well as trust in the teacher by whose hand one is guided, together with a keen understanding of discipline. How many in this world lack trust, not only in others, but even in themselves? If one cannot trust oneself, how then could one trust others? Trust is a great power, and lack of trust is weakness. Even if there might be an apparent loss as the result of one's trust, still the power gained thereby is great. The path of initiation means not only study, but also the recognition that the goal is to discover God within, thereby touching the source of all things. It is toward this end that one strives with the help of the power of initiation, and it is from within that all inspiration is received. It is expected that of the initiate, that the practice entrusted be done regularly with heart and soul, and that the teachings be treasured within the heart, where they may deepen, just as seekers for thousands of years have contemplated the sacred word with devout devotion. Initiation is not a secret act. It is a sacred trust, given by the teacher to disciple and by disciple to teacher. There shall be no wall of separation, and if there is one, it must first be removed before one may hope to remove the wall between worshiper and object of worship. The deep impressions received from the spiritual characteristics of the initiator form a model within the consciousness of the initiate, whose personality in time begins to reflect the very ideal of devotion. And the heart thereby is emptied of all else and becomes attuned to the divine presence. This same presence reveals itself as the very same power which was once thought to be one's own. This explains why devotion is at the same time the cry of the heart of the devotee and the breath which brings to life the object of devotion. The effect of a feeling heart can be clearly seen in the lives of great souls whose deeds and creative accomplishments have been profoundly inspired through their admiration and devotion for precious examples of the divine ideal. Progress is dependent upon patience, together with eagerness to learn from both sweet and bitter experiences, such as life's tests, the tests of the initiator, and those tests which knowingly or unknowingly we place before ourselves in the midst of life's puzzling ways. Those who have really accomplished noble things have always proceeded with humbleness, greeting at each step forward those who have reached beyond their own goals. Spiritual progress comes with a change of one's point of view, and each step taken upward on the ladder is a new initiation. At each rise, though, one risks being pulled downward again, after which the whole journey must be redone, and at each step the fall is greater. There are three, and I'm only reading parts of this paper. There are three main types of initiation. One is a natural unfoldment of the soul, an expansion of consciousness which happens without any reason as far as human understanding can perceive. This is called the grace of God. Another type of initiation comes as the result of great suffering. Like a flash, it changes in a single instance one's whole vision of life. The world has not changed, but like a string stretched on a tuning peg, the initiate has been raised to a higher pitch. The third type of initiation is that received through an initiator. If anything might be lost at that moment, it is not one's own point of view, but one's preconceived ideas. Therefore, when looking at things from another's point of view, one enlarges one's own, which becomes thereby twofold, that of the other as well as one's own point of view. As of the moment of initiation, all past remorse and sorrow are effaced from thought. There's no reason to grieve further. A new step has been taken, and all cruel memories have been left behind. Renunciation is not asked for, but hope and courage are welcome as one sets forth on the journey toward the goal with the great family of the seekers in the caravan of inner realization. Initiation in the Sufi movement offers double blessings. It is a blessing to become part of this most ancient school of inner culture, of which traces are found in every venerable, but also vulnerable, I would say, spiritual tradition. I like that, being vulnerable. A venerable spiritual tradition, at the same time is a blessing to partake in the message of today, the divine call, a channel through which flows living water offered to the whole of humanity to drink. The message comes in teachings offered, which are treasured like mantras as sacred ideals. If these words appear to be simple, yet there will come a time that simple things unfold into mountains of truth. This may be seen in the Sufi emblem, which suggests a stream of inspiration flashing forth from the heart, while the wings illustrate the determination of the initiate to contemplate higher thoughts and live a virtuous life. The Sufi message brings recognition of the divine in each. It is the light of truth thrown upon all religions. It is a cry of humanity calling for unity beyond all distinctions. It is a message of brotherhood and sisterhood, inspired by all-pervading ideals of love, harmony, and beauty. We ask that if anything be of benefit today in this session, that it go to benefit all beings. And all beings that are on the planet now, but also all beings of the past, the present, and the future to come. And we ask that those that we've invoked to be with us, continue to remember us in their hearts and minds, and inspire our hearts and minds. And we ask that they stay just a little while longer with us. And I'd ask that you all maybe come into this front room and make a circle here, please.
Also with us. Toward the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Life. So I need to ask you, is it your wish to be initiated into the Supreme Thing?
Yes, it is.
Will you take the teachings given to you as your sacred truths?
I will.
And will you hold to the message, high humanity, love, harmony, and beauty as both by household and icon, which is beyond all distinctions and forms, and that is the breath and pulse of all sacred traditions, whether we know them or not. These are nights. In the presence of all the beings and all the sacred traditions, in the presence of Hazrat Maimon, all the spiritual masters of all the spiritual governments of the world, all the Sufi masters of all the Sufi traditions, the Sufi movement, so that we can like this. And from now on is a new day, and your new name is Murad, meaning wish fulfilling. It's a very powerful name. It means will. Murad. M-U-R-A-D. It is the name that is given to the temple in Katfai, Murad Hasil, the house of wish fulfilling. So it's a very powerful name. And it is a name that Hazrat Anayat Khan used to give. He only gave certain names to people, not all the names that are so freely given to people. So this is a name that Hazrat Anayat Khan gave himself. M-U-R-A-D. Murad.
Murad. All right.
So welcome.
Bless you.
Bless you. May your path be wide open.
So we'll say a closing prayer, and then everyone's going to give Murad a hug.
Oh, no.
On his paw.
He's our Murad.
Don't you, sweetheart. May I? You want to give me your paw? There. So we'll say the cartoon. Oh, thou, who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness, teach us thy loving forgiveness, raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide men. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit, and unite us all in thy perfect being. Hugs all around.
You just walk right over to Lindsay.
Hey! I want you to know that these teachings through the grace and blessing of Cabrilla will be online. This one will be online. But the ones that are already online, you have no idea what they mean to people that are not in such communities. And people are really benefiting. They write and they say they feel like they know all of us. They hear our voices and they feel a part of this. It's really beautiful what every person's contributing to. So, thank you. And thank you, Cabrilla.
And today's will be up by next Saturday, but last month and previous months are already posted. Yeah. So you can move to .us.
So we have some tea, and we have some treats, and we also have our donation basket. Can be generous, because we have so many projects we're always trying to work on, and we appreciate your love and support.
Leo, can you get the mail? Leo can bring the mail in.
Amy, I appreciated your comments. I'll
bring the mail to you.